The Young and the Monstrous, a story of kids just trying to get out of high school and keep their monsters within. Episode 24, Begin Endgame. Not the movie, but, you know, of this show. Begin the endgame of this show. This will be, yes.
Celine is holding my card, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so, right?
Every now and then you feel like a pulse.
Hmm.
Which is very weird, and it's electrical shocked. So it's like zoop, 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 zoop. Just like every now and then.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
And she does recognize that it's Everett, right?
Yeah. You tell me. You see just the eyeglasses and the...
Yeah, I think it's like, at least for Celine, maybe for Kyle, who has kind of played Carl has kind of played Kyle as a little more obtuse. Maybe he's not positive, but for Celine, I think she can put two and two together.
There's magic for real. You can feel something.
There's magic in the air. Yeah. But soon enough, you guys get back to the media center, back to the library, and Mikkel, who is a man in his... who is a man in his late 40s, early 50s, is there. He's wearing just like a... He looks 90s as fuck. He doesn't have a tie on, but he has a button-down shirt that's buttoned all the way to the top, and he has pleated khakis on. And he jumps over the counter and starts like rummaging around, and he pulls out a box. And in that box, he's like pulling out things, and he's like, you kids aren't safe here. You know that already, right? I don't need to tell you that. And he's rummaging still through the stuff. Like, he's kind of like saying that as like, we all know this, right?
And Kyle's like kind of reeling, and he's like, I like, they want us like to be like a part of the Avengers, but like the Dark Avengers, like the bad guy Avengers, I think. Because those guys, they'd be, you know, we had a Tuckus. They took my arm a couple nights ago, and now he's here.
Did you say a Tuckus?
Like a
butt?
Ruckus. A Tuckus? A ruckus?
Like a Tuckus?
A Tuckful? A Rucker?
Okay. An Alan Rucker? An Alan Ruck?
Yeah.
A Teddy Ruxpin?
Like, he's really trying to catch up, like, with what's happening here.
And he says...
He's, like, barely on the edge of it.
And Mikkel says, Kyle, you saved my life the day that you died. Or at least the last time you died. I owe you at least this.
And Kyle, like, pretending like he understands, he's like, yes, go on.
And he pulls out a... I have a pitch for what this is. If somebody else has a better idea, throw it out there. I think a crystal ball would be stupid. I think it is instead a monocle. It's Everett's for real eyeglasses. And he pulls those out, and he like wipes them off because they've got like dust or schmutz on them or something like that. And he hands them to Celine, and he says, let him wear his glasses.
Is there a way I can like release this card?
I mean, if you just put the glasses on the card, when Celine puts the glasses and the card kind of together, I think like Everett is projected out of this for now and can kind of interact with you guys and do all of this stuff. He is a ghost. He can do all of the things, but he's tied to, I have a card and glasses that are together. We can fix that later to make it more permanent, but yeah.
I feel like, just to add even more to it, I feel like Celine channels the magic. Like, she feels the magic. You see her hands. Do they glow or light up or something? Do your hands do anything special?
Her hands become super dry.
No more claiming hands for you, baby.
It's the opposite. You're like, my hands are so fucking dry. The back of your hands are like cracked. You're like, they're bleeding a little.
I feel like, especially because you've made it known that you're still learning magic, maybe you didn't know that you could do this. So like something glowy or something happens when you're putting the things together. But it's your magic is what makes it happen, Celine. It's happening. It's you. But yeah, so I'm gonna raise out. How do I project? I know we had talked about lights and shadows, and this can be an anybody question. Emily, Carl, how do I get out of there? What's the symbolism? I'm still technically strapped to this card in my glasses, but is it light? Is it color? Is it electricity? Probably electricity, right? Yeah, Emily says yes. Thank you, Kate.
It's gotta be electricity.
It's gotta be. Well, it's definitely some sparks at first, which make you drop the card to the floor and the glasses or whatever. And then I you see my hand come out of the card and I pick the glasses up and I put them on and I look at all of you and I go, yeah, yes, yelling, yes. And you see me float and fly a little bit, electrical sparks, all that shit. And I get down and I kind of dust myself off. We don't have time for this. You know what I mean? We don't have time for this. I go over to the janitor, librarian, custodian, all the, and I pat him on the shoulder and I said, thank you. Thank you so, so much. And I take the Lilith card and I put it in Celine's bag. I'm sure you got a bag, Celine. You got something going on, a tarot bag or some shit. And I put it in the bag and I say, we gotta go help. I forgot her name. Something bomb, something boo-boo. Oh my God. The girl fighting with the stabby part.
Carol Hamill.
Carol. Carol.
Carol! We gotta go help Carol.
Carol, whose last name has vacillated between Hamill Carr and Hamill Clar.
That's also true.
Yes, vacillated is the right word.
While this is going on, yes. Kyle's gonna nudge Emily and be like, I think he goes to our school.
Yeah, that feels right.
Kyle, that's Everett.
Didn't we have history class with him 2 years ago?
We've had tons of class with him.
Yeah, we've had a lot of classes together. You're right, Carl. You are paying attention. You're one of the smart ones.
Guys, he was in our homeroom. We had detention with him. Oh my God, how did they not? Oh God.
I know that's recent.
Lilith and I have been looking for you.
Mikkel says, all of you guys were there when Kyle saved my life in the fire that he died in. And you kind of turn over and there's a 48-year-old man who's like, am I right, guys?
We've been a part of this since the beginning. Okay. All right,
now we never said who played Mikkel. Now, no. Mikkel's about to lay a bunch of knowledge on you guys, so any opinions on who this character is? Because we've presented him in a rather comical fashion before, but it would have to be somebody who you could previously view as comical and then later could maybe get a little more serious.
Dina Carvey.
Who's that?
Jim Carrey.
The thoughts I had so far were David Duchovny from Zoolander, where it's just having to explain stuff to a bunch of idiots. But any of those work.
I love David Duchovny being in this situation because of the weird sexual energy that he would bring to the situation. Although,
yeah, to anyone, although, male, female, doesn't matter. It's David Duchovny.
Although Jim Carrey.
So Jim Carrey, got it.
So, okay, I guess it's Jim Carrey. Yeah, so Jim Carrey has decided to be in the show. We don't know why. Or a Jim Carrey type.
Yes, got it.
And he's looking. So he's being way more over animated than you ever would have expected a man of his age to be able to be. And he's like, you guys saved my life. I'm glad that we can have this reunion, but we're going to have to do something about this. And he's like rummaging through this and he takes out a big book. And of course, he's going to reference things in this book as he's talking to you. And he's like, all of the people involved with him, you can't trust that they are who they really are. And everyone knows
full agreeance. Yes. And I full on go into a small little tirade in which I recap most of the things.
Celine, you know this to also ring a bell because at some point you were talking to Ashley St. Clair and you realized Ashley St. Clair was not actually Ashley St. Clair. And you realize, oh shit, She was trying to get you to work with Ransom Morganhouse. That's not Ashley St. Clair. That's someone else in her body. And he'll explain. He'll be like, the order can transfer people's spirits from one body to another. They've had that power for years. They've been able to use that in part to keep themselves alive, moving themselves to younger and younger bodies. The man that you're dealing with looks like he's in his mid to late 40s. He's at least in his later 90s. At least that's the first time I was able to hear of him specifically and could track him.
Well, and that deck he's using it to capture other versions of, and he looks at Emily and he says, other versions of human people. And he looks at the other two and he's like, human people? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's capturing other versions of us and using our power to, like, enhance the... Are we following? He's looking directly at Kyle. And he's like, you understand?
And so then you're saying that, like, Emily is sort of like an Emperor Palpatine type of human, or like Rogue from X-Men?
And
Babe, that's awesome. Why didn't you tell me?
And there's a close-up I feel like Mikhail's face where he's like, oh, shit. These are
kids. Is this the first time that he's really noticing the wounds that Emily has?
Sure. Yeah. Emily and Celine look pretty beat up. Like, they don't look like, oh, yikes, man, I've had a ragged day. They look like, hey, I need to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Everett is feeling charged, feeling ready to electrocute people. And maybe he got an upgrade while he was being in that tarot deck. I don't know, whatever. So he looks at, can you remind me of the janitor's name one more time?
Mikhail.
He looks at Mikhail and he says, you seem like a really knowledgeable person. Do you have anything that can help them currently? Because if not, we need to like get them to safety. And he's like pointing at the two people covered in blood. And then he looks at Kyle, and Kyle's also those two specifically. Mikhail, please. Any way to help them at all?
The three of you, and he looks at Celine, Kyle, and Everett. And he doesn't look at Emily at all. And he says, the three of you have a set of abilities and skills that he wants. He wants them for himself, whether it's to keep himself alive forever in one particular body, whether it's to use magical abilities, whether it's to become insubstantial or possess people or levitate objects. I'm not sure precisely. I'm guessing.
So I'm still learning.
At Everett, and he goes, I'd wager all of you are still learning. But so is he. He wants to collect and gather all these things so he can use them for himself. He already has quite a lot. He wants all of this for himself. His order is determined to get this. The more he is able to get, the more powerful he is, the more danger all of you are in. The more danger all of us are in.
So he probably wants
to collect a sip of wine.
And he probably wants to collect Brennifer then. Because Brennifer is like us, and he's like lowering his head and looking. Emily, you know we're not really fully human, right? You know each of us is not fully human. And can this not be a secret? Can we just talk about this and move on? This is not Eduardo. This is Everett.
And I think Mikhail's the... What? You guys didn't all know this about each other?
Well,
I'm a ghost, Emily. Emily.
Kyle disappeared for a while and came back with one arm. Mm-hmm. And I watched him fight a giant monster with one arm.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Celine brought me back from the dead, and you haven't been seen for a while, and you just came out of a tarot card. So I think I can accept this as truth.
He's going to float over to you, and normally you'll see him like fake walk. he's gonna float over to you and gently place like where his hand should be on the like your dress or whatever, your shoulders. And he's gonna get close to you and he's gonna do the electrical like eye thing. And he say, I trust you. I trust you more than I trusted any human person ever.
And like Kyle will like ribs lean and be like, ouch.
No, it's fine. You're undead? Question mark. You're undead? But this is clearly a human girl. Like, she might have extraordinary powers that may be unlocked in season 3 or 4. But like, right now she's a human girl and we gotta trust her and she has to trust us. Do you trust us?
I do. I trust
you.
You
do? I know you trust Kyle.
And since it's Jim Carrey, he's doing a thing where his eyes are darting back and forth between each of you as you're talking, and it's very hilarious. And he's like, he's doing this and like pantomiming, like, please, please, no, yes, yes. Yeah.
And Kyle, like, yes, of course, Emily is a human girl, you know, like put an arm around her, but a human girl who can, and he like puts a hand for like for you to fill in the blank. It's like, fly, mm-hmm. shoot lightning. Uh-huh. Kill monsters, yes. Change under the full moon, can't die, Kyle, like me.
Kyle,
magic.
That was me. Celine Kyle, I was inside her.
Kyle, I don't remember like, any of that.
I was inside her.
Yeah, I think there's a shot of Jim Carrey at that, and he's like, ooh.
I was inside her. I'm so Hold sorry.
On. You were inside her, and she didn't remember any of that?
Yes.
Everett, you need to just take this outside.
He like, yes, you know what? We should take this outside. And he's going to look at Mikhail. And he's going to look at Mikhail and he's like, we're going to go outside. Because, but you know what? We need lots of space. Probably where Brynifer is. And he's going to like, wink. We got to go right now. Celine? And he like.
Mikhail shakes his head and is like, I think based on that you guys might be joking. But there's a lot of stuff that we got to talk about here. If you've got questions, I can try to answer some of them. And if you've got concerns, and I'll tell you this, he wants all of you and Emily, I'm sorry, but you're not safe from that desire. And this sucks. I'm sorry to have to say it. But if any of these people care about you, you might be used as a pawn in all of this. And he looks at everybody else and says, and if you have anyone who's close to you, you might be a pawn. They might be a pawn in this too. We see one of these kind of big guys. He looks like, do you know who Dean Norris, the actor Dean Norris is? He was in Breaking Bad. He was one of the cops. He basically looks like Bruce Willis if Bruce Willis wasn't Bruce Willis.
Talking about his brother-in-law?
I don't know, man. I
Uncle Hank. It's Hank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So Dean Norris. Yeah. He looks like Dean Norris. And he kind of gets out of the car. He has the big neck tattoo on as well. And he's like, and he says, like, come on. And you hear like a tiny voice that says like, I'm just not used to these legs. And they get out of the car and we see a tiny person get out of the car and the camera pans up and it's little Liam. And little Liam says, all right, now where are they supposed to be? In a very adult manner. And then we hop back. Yeah, Mikhail says like, there's a lot of things that need to be handled here. But if
and Kyle will like stand protectively up in front of Emily and says, Emily's not a pawn. She's a queen. And she goes wherever I go.
Of course, that's exactly what the queen does. She goes wherever the king goes. We get it.
Yes, the most powerful piece.
Mm-hmm. During that part, Everett's going to pick up his card like gently and place it in Celine's bag right where he put Lewis' card.
Ooh, and the glasses. Can Everett manipulate his own card?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question. Celine, can he?
Kind of.
I can move Lilith. I already did that, but I don't know.
This is like someone with telekinesis, like, hurtling themselves through the air.
Well, Jean Grey can do it. Why not? If Famke Janssen can do it.
Yeah, Famke can do whatever she wants.
She and Nicolas Cage are the same age, god damn it. All right.
I feel like that's definitely a Celine question. I walk over to it for sure. Can I pick it up?
Oh, yeah. I love that scene of you trying to pick it up and you can't. And you kind of look at Celine and she cocks her head, comes and picks it up and puts it with the other one. We see like a camera shot, like the B-roll of the two cars next to each other now.
Love that. And the glasses. I need my glasses. Well, actually, I'm wearing them now, so I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they like, yeah.
Yeah, they're like floating now. Mikkel I guess they're corporeal.
Mikkel says this order. It's a medieval order. They were committed to building power for themselves by finding these ancient artifacts and essentially harnessing the power that came out of them. And they had done a lot of that. He's what's left. It's not a lot, but it's enough to be enough trouble for all kinds of people.
So are you saying that in order to stop him from attaining ultimate power, and he like gestures to the room, that we need to kill ourselves?
And Mikkel looks at you and looks at everybody else again with big, like...
Because I can't die. I've tried.
He has that not gonna work. Neck on a swivel situation, and he's like, no, that's not what I was saying. No, not what I was saying at all. You guys can't let him get to you, and you need to stop him.
So this tarot deck is one of those artifacts. Is that what you're saying? So we need to get that tarot deck away from him.
That'll help for a start.
But that's one way.
That's not the only power that they have.
Yeah, for sure. That'll help us. We need to start now. We need to deal with him now. So if that's one way of doing it, I say we do that.
All right. I'm going to say you guys have time. Do you have a question for Mikkel?
Yeah, because.
Okay, what's that question?
I was going to say, well, look, if we are in fact actually assembling a team, you know, like looking around everybody like eagerly with his eyes, he's like, seems to me like we're a woman down. Now, it worked for Everett. Does anybody have like some lip gloss or like a hairband or something that we can like put on Lubell's card and like bring her into the mix?
Not Lubell. I've been gone this whole time, so I don't know. Did she leave anything? A notebook, a pencil, a lily pad?
Mikkel says, are you talking about Lilith?
Yeah. Duh.
The people dragged into the deck, if the stories are true. Those who are dragged into the deck corporeally can be trapped there. I think your friend Everett here has the ability to leave it a little more easily because he is not corporeal any longer. There could be others who are in that situation, but since we don't have that connection to them, we can't necessarily know. Ransom tried to force a non-corporeal form from the deck into a dead body. But it didn't work. It never lasts. He's tried it before. It's gotten better, but not by much.
And do Emily and Celine know that, like, that would describe Renato?
Do you guys know that that would describe Renato? Then I think he just looks at you and says, like, I thought both of you guys dated him. Renato. Okay, never mind. I guess Scuttlebutt's not right around here. Anyway, I don't know. I'm the janitor / media specialist, which, by the way, the reason I took that title is so I could get in here and deal with this supernatural stuff. Nope, that job doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know. This library is pretty much a mess, and the school is pretty dirty. So I think I'm doing poor. I'm doing half a job in both capacities.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, you've been here a very long time.
I've been here for a while.
Maybe not as long as me.
No, not as long as you. But I've been here a little bit longer than I would like to be, certainly.
I mean, you're doing... Look, I feel like these are season two questions. You have been doing a lot, and I'm grateful for what you're doing right now. It's great. No, I'm really happy. What the thing is, right now we're dealing with a psychomaniac who is probably going to put Brennifer inside of the thing. I feel like Celine feels very motivated to move in that direction, and so do I. I don't have any other questions. Do you have questions? Emily, now's your chance.
This is when you guys, you hear an electrical sound.
Oh, no.
And coming through the door, and I don't mean coming through the door, like walking through, but coming through the locked door, as in phasing through in a ghostly way, sliding through, is one of these guys with a shaved head and a big neck tattoo. And he looks like white Ving Rhames. Or just maybe Ving Rhames. I don't know. Who said these guys all have to be white? He fucking looks like Ving Rhames. He's played by Ving Rhames. Yeah. So Ving Rhames shows up and he's got a big neck tattoo. And he says, give the cards back right now and come with me.
I feel like Everett's been trapped, so he's the fastest to move. Plus, he's got these weird electricity powers that he didn't have before. So he's going to... I know initially we were all kind of in a circle and we were all talking.
I'd imagine you guys are all huddled around the circulation desk at the library.
Yeah, for sure. So he's going to let his body like charge or run through that whatever that table is. And he's going to not push, but like put his hand out to Emily to like move her back behind us. Because he can move things now, apparently. And swivel around, and maybe Celine is also there. And he like, he doesn't push you behind us, but like to the side. And he just goes right for that guy.
Okay, so you're going to try to... Everett's goal is get ye behind me and then lash out physically toward this person?
Metaphysically, if he can walk through walls, I could do that too. He ain't showing off. So I'm either trying to push him through it or to like touch him at some point. It depends on that touch. Depends on if I can reach him at all.
I mean, you guys just both displayed ghostly tendencies. Yes. So go ahead and roll with volatile.
That's a one. Let's see what I roll. Give me 1 second. It's behind me.
Get thee behind me. One roll.
It's a 4 and a 2 plus 1, 7.
7. You barely made that. On a 7 and 9, you harm them, but you choose one. They learn something about your true nature and gain a string on you. The MC decides how bad the harm turns out. Again, I assume that's on you, or you become your darkest self.
I'm never doing that again if I can avoid it. So it's going to be that first option. They're going to know something about me. They
learn something about your true nature. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You grab this guy. The two of you are wrestling with each other, and it gives the other folks some time to get away from this or out of here to another safe location. And you are going to push this guy, but you're going to push him like out of here, not just out of the room, but like schwa and fling him out. And you fling him back, and he ends up back at his body where he was in the auditorium with Ransom and Officer Perez. And you look, and Ransom looks at him and says, "What just happened?" And this guy turns, and his nose is bleeding a bunch, like a lot. And he just says, I think we need to go upstairs, as into the place where Everett died. I met up with some friends at a bar, and I had a few too many. I didn't want to break any laws, so I called an Uber, but the driver took forever. You know, I found some bushes to relieve myself, but as soon as I whipped it out, I heard sirens. Now I have 100 hours of community service and a $1,000 fine! How am I supposed to afford booze now? I wish I'd put Golden Hour on speed dial.
I went to my best friend's bachelorette party downtown. When we were walking to the third drag brunch, I realized I needed to, you know, go. I found two trucks parked next to each other and popped a squat between them like I'd done 100 times before. Mid-flow, I heard sirens. And now I'm on a sex registry. I really wish I'd looked into Golden Hour.
Has this ever happened to you? Out for a night of enjoyment and then, through no fault of your own, been visited by the yellow monster? It used to be seen as a victimless crime, or even a rite of passage, but now public urination is seen by some as a capital offense. I'm Philip Hauer.
And I'm Isaac Gold. We're here to help you with your public urination.
If your bladder is full, but there's nowhere to go, why not give Golden Hour a shot?
If you're one of the few that has yet to be caught urinating in public, we also offer free classes on how best to legally urinate. We get right down in there with you and give you the tips and techniques that can make all the difference before a court of law.
How's that, Mr. Gold?
Ah, great stream, champ.
Your pisses will be so discreet.
And 100% legal.
Right, and legal that we guarantee you'll get off.
So when you're in trouble or you have to, you know, go, call 555-HOT-PISS for a golden shower.
That's 555-468-7477 for Golden Hour.
Golden showers, you're gonna get off. What is the location where you guys are going? Because I think Mikkel is like, all right, well, fuck, we gotta get out of here. There's fucking ghost skinheads that are coming in here and attacking us. We gotta get out of here.
Everett's thought process.
By the way, I'm Jim Carrey and I fuck. Sorry, he mentions that.
Thanks, Jim.
Call me James.
Everett's notion is to get into where the gym is, because he wants to help Brennifer, but also all his classmates. And if they have Brennifer like captured in a card because she's a magical being, he's worried about that because she had a lot of power from what he understood.
Mikkel will tell you that's, do you pitch that out to everybody?
I do pitch it.
Mikkel would say like, we have to come up with some kind of plan first before we just jump, before we go in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I understand, Carol went in there, but a lot
Carol's
of
alone.
Left.
Yeah, I think Celine's going to say that too. Like, yeah, I sent Carol specifically to deal with Brennifer because she's mind controlled half of our friends down there. If she
absolutely,
like, if she goes into a card, that's the least of my worries. Trust me.
Okay, so we aren't concerned so much about that. Sorry, that was Eduardo, not Everett. Let me go back to Everett. Okay, well, no, David, I understand. Yeah, no. I understand. I love that.
We gotta first.
I think Mikkel will say, like, from what I understand, what's happening in there is a result of another artifact that, what is he calling himself now? Ransom Morganhouse? He's using your last name, Kyle. He used to be Ransom Mendelsohn. Years, 5 or 6 years ago.
And kind of like glow up much?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, a little bit, yeah, right? He looks at everybody like he's kind of handsome, like, but the he says, handsome.
He's got, we all agree, like, yeah, he's
I'll talk about the name.
Oh,
that too, I'm sure.
Sure. And then he looks at you and is like, anti-Semitic much?
That's not what I expected.
He says prior to that he was known as Silas Jeffers, and before that He was Elizabeth Turkman.
Elizabeth Turkman. What about before that?
Oh my god.
I think he was either... I'm just coming up with names.
Coverman Jepperings.
Yeah.
Jepperings. I think
his name was either... His name was either Scroach Totals or Leatherback Whale Ship.
I'm related to Leatherback Whale Ship. It's all connected.
Oh my god, that's why you've been chosen.
I'm dying.
No, but so Mikkel will basically tell you, like, he has transferred himself into these various people. And the deal is that he's chosen people to bring into essentially what is a cult, who are wealthy, usually like wealthy, powerful, young, connected. And Ransom Mendelsohn was not only like kind of like a handsome playboy, but he was part of a family that had a bunch of money and influence in the tri-state area. And so when he took over that body, he not only took over a younger body to keep himself alive longer, he also took over the influence that that person had and was able to transfer his old funds and influence and power from there. So he's been building this up over the course of, like I said, he's at least in his late 90s. And so over a century, he's been able to build all of this up.
So he's scarier than we think he is. That's good to know. So I think after sending that body back, Everett maybe takes into account, like, he was ready to go. And he looks at Emily again, and he looks at Celine again, and he looks at their bodies, and is like, he looks at Mikhail, and he says, so we got to come up with a plan, right? Can we go to the nurse's office? Do you have the key to that?
I got the key to everything in here.
All right, let's go there.
Sure.
And while we're doing that, while we're like,
it's just directly next to this area where we are.
I hate you. While we're moving, he's going to look at Celine and he's going to say, you know, I think you've got more magic and more ability than you believe in. And you were able to get me out of that card, at least for a little while. You might be able to heal us a little bit too, and you don't even know it yet. So maybe you just need things. And he points to his glasses and he says, maybe you just need objects to focus through. Like, if...
Hey, grow me a new arm.
I mean, one thing at a time. He like pats Kyle on the head. He's floating at this point. He knows exactly where the gnosis office. He doesn't have to hide he's a ghost from these people. Maybe he's upside down at one point.
I think when Kyle says, grow me a new arm, like jokingly, I think Mikkel says, grow this body a bigger dick.
Oh my god! Damn it, Jim. Mr. Carey, one thing at a time. Look at Emily. Look at Celine. They're rough. Let's deal with this first. And he like goes back to like cheering up Celine. He's like, hey, you got this. And I know there's people and they're in the... We gotta get to the gym, but like, we gotta heal. Like, you can see dripping body parts at this point. Like, let's heal this first. Emily, are you okay? You look like you have a stab wound in your back. And I used you to float around a room. I know you don't remember that, but there's a lot going on. Are you okay? Emily, please. I'm worried about you. You're so sad.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. You're talking to me.
Directly to you as a ghost person.
Listen, I think I have a concussion. Okay. I'm not here.
You're like limping.
That reminded me of the Barry Gibb talk show thing where it's like, Barry, respond to me. Nothing. Anyway, all right.
This was real. Emily, are you okay?
I think so. I'm glad to know that everyone else is all right.
Yeah, we are all right. You know, apparently we need to make a plan to, like, handle this problem. How are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
Just as long as you guys are okay.
You look like the corpse bride from that one movie.
Oh my god, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. That's so You're like sweet. Losing blood though. Are you supposed to be losing blood? And he like reaches out to like help pat you and notices Kyle looking at him and goes, you know, we just want to help each other.
I think Mikkel starts to lose some patience and be like, I get it. You guys are fucked up. You've been through some stuff. Heads up. We're all going to go through a lot of stuff. And the people in that gymnasium are, I don't know, going to be enslaved to build some kind of new pyramid to a teenage girl who says mm-hmm. that everybody's a queef or something all the time, if I'm familiar with this
right.
freaking kid at all. Or you're the three of you are going to be sucked into a deck of cards so some mm-hmm. megalomaniac can do whatever he wants and then transfer himself into, I don't know, Emily, your body, who knows, whatever younger body he wants so he can keep living forever. We're dealing with people who their lust for power took an organization that used to behind the scene control empires and armies and fractured it to such a degree because that was those were the excesses they were willing to go to, and that was the amount of backstabbing and anyway.
Mikhail, we're teenagers. We're teenagers. We've been teenagers this whole time. And I love that you are filled us with knowledge. And I love that you are telling us that we need to do something. But if you're not specifically telling us what to do, one girl is dying. One girl is bleeding. That guy's already dead. And I'm a fucking ghost. We're teenagers.
And I love that you're calling me Mikhail, like Joel Mikhail. It makes me feel
yes!
handsome.
Yes. I will call you whatever I need to call you to make it clear that we need to either make a plan to go fight this person right now or take care of the people that are hurt. What do you want us to do? What do you, Mikhail, want us to do right now? Because I'm happy to heal these people or find a way magically to do it. You're giving us the knowledge. You want us to fight this person? Because I'll go right there. Go electrify everything in that room and just be a ghost.
And I think that this is where he like quiets down and he basically says like, I was watching all of you to present you with this information when the time came. Well, I was late on that. And I'm giving you this information later than I should have. That's one of my many failings in my lives.
Not multiple.
But this is, I don't have a plan. You're the ones who have these magic powers. I don't have that anymore. I just have some knowledge of what's going on and can tell you about him and about one another. What is it that you need to know? I can answer that. But for a plan...
First, I'd like to know, Mr. Librarian Janitor, when did you stop being an Illuminati bootlicker?
Call him out.
He'll say, I used to be part of the order that Ransom is part of, but it was a longer time ago. I broke away when I realized what the group was. This isn't my first life. This isn't my first body.
But now you're content to live out the rest of your final life as a librarian janitor at a high school?
I'd like to think of it as a person who would help to bring some kind of right and stop some kind of wrong and save some younger people as well as pay off a life debt to the person who saved my life.
Wow, I wish we were right, but you're very, very bad at it.
Yeah, and you know what? I gotta say, the pension plan thing is not as good as it sounds, and also the job security just isn't there anymore. So, you know what?
In this economy...
That's you know what? I'm gonna tell the principal that I'm out of here tomorrow, but we'll see if there is one. You've got a point. You see he puts down on his phone. Stop being janitor/librarian. Start being fashion influencer. Food blogger.
Do we get to this nurse room door? That's initially where we were walking to.
Yeah, you guys absolutely can be there.
Everett's gonna like float through the door ahead of you locking it, and he's gonna start looking for things that are like medical stuff, like gauze or like anything. And then he's gonna like point it out to Celine as she walks in and say, "Your hands do magic things now. Try to like heal. Just try. Just a little bit. Just try."
As you're rummaging through this, you hear a huge bang on the door after you've come through that Mikkel has locked. And he goes, that's a fire door. Hurry up. That'll hold for a long. And then the door absolutely explodes open. And it's that same guy who came through before. And he looks absolutely roided out. He's going to hit so many home runs in the 90s. He is crazy. And he's like, and he just says, "Give me the cards and I'll only kill a few of you. God damn it." And he just runs at whomever.
So Everett's going to go and move forward. Obviously, he's incorporeal, so that's not really going to do much, but he's going to stand in front of him.
Okay. So who is corporeal that this person would run into?
Kyle, so won't shy, going, shy like, away from right through.
Apparently, yeah. If Everett's incorporeal.
Yes, Leon or Emily, is there anything you want to do? If not, Kyle can ham hand this. Beat on him with my fist.
Incredible.
I'm not a master tactician, but he's just be like, "Yeah, sure. I can go toe to toe with this guy / any guy. No problem."
Okay, well, I'm of two minds. I'm of one mind to do something with Eduardo's move because he like stepped up first on that one to do something, or to let somebody else be the person in this situation. So is there a preference that people have?
I personally feel like I have electric stuff, but I wouldn't know. That first round, I thought I could push him, but he's material now. He's a person now, so it's not the same for me. Everett. Eduardo's got ideas, but he has to fail first to know that he can do stuff.
Kyle and Everett double teaming this guy might be interesting.
Okay. Like, yeah, for like sure. Once he gets right? past me.
Sure. Well, yeah. Are you lashing out physically, Kyle, or running away?
Oh, definitely the first one.
Go for it.
Nine.
So they learn something about your true nature and gain a string on you. The MC decides how bad the harm turns out, or you become your darkest self.
I'll forgo that last one. Yeah, you tell us. How does this not work out so good?
All right. This person has this strength, and I'm going to say Everett can figure something out from this. That Everett, while much more intangible, this person is able to move with the strength that's nuts. And he and Kyle are smashing each other around this nurse's office. And this is like two professional wrestlers are just being like, "What else can be smashed? Throw me into that." And they just keep smashing each other into things. And one of the things that Everett can realize is this person's strength is well beyond human. And Mikkel had told you that they can grant, like people can be granted powers from this. And you realize, mm-hmm. wait a minute, the various people in the deck could be used, like their abilities could be granted perhaps to people within the order. And you nice. Imagine like, oh my God, what if a human was as strong as a Bigfoot? A Sasquatch, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so at some point, this guy's even beating on his chest like some kind of Sasquatch. And
what if a human had one horsepower?
Yeah, exactly. One power of one horse. And yeah. And so you guys smashing each other into things.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's good knowledge.
But you're going to harm them, Kyle. The difference is, they're also going to harm you. Kyle, how much damage would you do to a person? Yeah.
Oh, is there any way for me to quantify that with game systems, or should I just tell you how I feel about it?
I mean, you're going to do at least one to someone. Do you think you would do two where they like, it's like this person needs to go to the doctor very soon?
Probably not, honestly. He's got one arm and he's not his darkest self.
Ooh,
but
okay.
Then he did survive a fight with like a monstrous beast. So whatever you think is the fair way to go on that.
All right. So, well then, yeah. So I think that we'll say that you can, let's say that you can do one harm to this person and they're going to, I think they might do two harm to you, which means Kyle's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to do something, perhaps.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. And this guy, he like backs up after being... what's the thing that makes him back up and stop attacking Kyle for a minute?
Emily stabs him in the eye with a syringe.
Ooh, there you go. She grabs a syringe. It's a kid's EpiPen. And she's like, yeah, who's allergic to bees now, bitch? And she stabs him in the eye. Yeah, and this guy... reels back. He's got this thing sticking out of his eye, like Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction.
Nice.
And he just is like, he's like, I don't care about this body at all. It can take all the damage it might. I'll be back again for you. But I'll tell you what you do care about: your loved ones. Now, why don't you guys give us what we want, or else they're dead. And he flicks down something, and Celine, it tells you it's Liam's.
He stole from her room like a crystal necklace or something. You know, like an amethyst.
Yeah, something that's connected to you.
Where is a good location that they would have you meet? I want to be out of this school. As the person running the game. You guys don't. You want to keep dealing with this, but these characters want you to remove you from the school. Where is that?
Why don't we finish the fight you started when you woke me up from my dirt nap?
Oh, at your grave, kid? Yeah. That sounds great.
Great.
Yeah, I love
it. Now I'm gonna put you to dirt sleep. Forever.
You better be there. And he just crushes the amethyst necklace under one of his feet. We see Keith Batari unlocking his door, and he opens the door, and Keith's mom is like, Keith, where have you been? I thought you were going to be home a little while ago, or we wouldn't even see you tonight. And Keith's dad was like, yeah, son, I guess you didn't get laid tonight. High five. And Keith high fives his dad. And then Keith interlocks his hands with his dad, and he's like, son, what are you doing? And he looks at him and says, like, I'm bringing you to the Nile.
The Young and the Monstrous,
a Monster Hearts actual play podcast from This American Dice. The Young and the Monstrous is Carl as Kyle the Ghoul, David as Celine the Witch, Eduardo as Everett the Ghost, Lauren as Lilith the Fae, Kate as Emily the Mortal, and Austin is your Game Master. Cover art is by Blair. Monster Hearts is a game by Avery Adler. The Young and the Monstrous airs here on This American Dice every Thursday, so don't forget to check us out each week. Rate, review, like, subscribe, check out our Facebook group, The Whole Nine Yards, and let us know what you think. Every 5-star review on iTunes we'll read on the air. Our intro and outro music, of course, is Deep State by Vans in Japan. Additional music for this episode included Street Life, silent film by Lobo Loco, Shadow Man by Lobo Loco, Time is Running Out by Jeremy Corpus, Germ Warfare by Jeremy Corpus, and Light Expanse by Unicorn Heads. Additional voices for this episode included Blair and Alex.
Now go, Lumberjacks!
Go ahead, Emily. Go for it, girl.
Yeah, that's Eduardo.
Wait, no.
I mean Everett. I mean, that's
full
Everett.
Incorrect name. No, I love it.
I'm keep sorry. It like Kate, that. Kate, do it one more time. That's Everett Hamilclarg. That's Brittany Brivener Eduardo Clark. Somebody pointed out in a podcast, which is that like Jim Carrey in all of his movies, even when he's supposed to be really goofy, it's like he wrote into his contract that he's like, my character has to fuck so people know I fuck. Like, I don't care if I'm like a detective for dogs and shit. I want to fuck multiple ladies. Courtney Cox has to fuck me in this movie. Like that kind of a deal. Like no matter what's going on, how dumb and goofy he is, like people need to fuck me.
That's and like even in that Philip Morris movie, whatever, where he was in prison or whatever.
Oh yeah, he and Ewan McGregor are banging each other after he's been banging everybody else in the movie.
I love it. Jim is like Grinch prosthetics. I'm fucking me, Mary Lou Who, whatever her.
Yeah.
Not Cindy.
Yeah, Bahu Dore, is am I right? She ganged his Tom Tinker. She flubbed his hoop tuber. He grew two sizes that day. What a teenager making this thing about yourself.
Now go, Lumberjacks.